How many of you guys like fresh starts? Sometimes you want like redos. If you ever been in a race and it's like it caught you off guard and you're like, wait a minute, let me redo that again. You don't always get a chance to do that, but I want to tell you with God, God's all about redos. Amen. God is always about fresh starts. And if you're like everybody else, which I'm assuming you are, sometimes we allow things in our attention or our priorities might get out of whack. And it doesn't mean you don't love the Lord, but how many of you know sometimes we can get our priorities messed up, right? Other things become more important. And so our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I've always, at least for me, I've seen it as a realignment, a time for me to make sure that the first things are first, that God is number one, and everything begins to fall in order. You know, my time that I was in the Army, some of you guys didn't know that, but Galatians, this always stuck out to me. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. How many of you guys that were in, you know about marching, and you know what it means to be in step? And you know what it means to be out of step. When you're out of step and you're marching, especially like basic training, the drill sergeants are not kind to you. Let me just say that. But keeping in step, you are in unison. How many of you know that's what we're called to do, walking in the Spirit? The Holy Spirit, He's speaking. We want to hear. We want to be in step. But when we get our alignment knocked out, and there's several things that can knock our alignment out, and I think we've all experienced it. Sometimes the circumstances of our life can mess us up, amen? And I'm talking good and bad ones. Like a good circumstance, say you get a new job. How many of you know that's a good thing, especially if you hadn't been working? But a lot of times you can get so focused on that, learning that, trying to do good at that, that God kind of somehow, not that He's gone, but He's kind of dropped down on the rungs of importance. Or maybe a new relationship, you know, ooh, I'm so in love, and you know, you're giving all of your time and energy there. Bad circumstances, a health diagnosis. How many of you know that has a tendency to mess you up? The doctor tells you something. Maybe you've dealt with a death in the family, lost a job, a broken relationship. All of those things can get us out of whack and can get us out of step with the Spirit. And so I just want you to understand this. Any decision that we make selfishly will keep us out of step with the Spirit. As long as we're focusing on self and what I want and my desires, my thing, then our alignment is going to be messed up. So this month, as we go through this time, I want to cover things that will help us to keep the first things first. And the first of the year, how many of you know, a lot of people, oh, I'm going to make a choice to have better health. Anybody ever make that decision? You know, anybody join a gym this last week? What's that? All the time. That's awesome. And listen, it's good to improve our health. There's nothing wrong with that. But how many of you know any improvement you make, there's going to be a cost? All right, there's going to be a cost. And it's like, you got to make it a priority. You got to have a passion. And I hope that part of our desire is not just physical health, but spiritual health. Amen. We want to be healthy spiritually. So what do you think is more important? I just wanted to put this out. When you're making life changes or you're trying to make healthy changes, is passion greater than priority or is priority greater than passion? Think about that for a second. Usually, how many of you know, you usually don't make something a priority unless there's something that kind of like nudged you that way, like a, you know, a desire to get healthier. Can I tell you my biggest urge and thing that nudges me is looking in the mirror. Think about that, right? It's like, oh my gosh, I got to lose some weight, right? I got to get healthier. And that is true, right? If there's not a desire to make a commitment, then we're not going to make those commitments. But honestly, I think both of them are important. Both of them are important. What I want us to realize, though, is that the priority will keep you going when the passion has cooled off. Does that make sense? Like, oh man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I know that I'm going to do it. And then, like, you know, you wake up the next morning and you're like, maybe tomorrow. Right? Because it's not a priority. And here's the thing, your commitment kind of keeps you in the grind, doesn't it? All right, I'm going to do it. Like reading through the New Testament in 31 days, how many of you realize that's going to take a commitment, right? You might actually have to turn the TV off or not scroll so much on your phone. I mean, that's a commitment. And it's like, but if you make that commitment, I want to tell you, you can finish it, right? You don't have to look at it like, I mean, it's not like anyone's asking you to donate a kidney. It's like, I can read through the Bible. I know how to read. I think most of us, if you don't know how to read, there's this amazing Bible app that will actually read it to you. Amen? But I think everybody here can read. But listen, here's the reality when it comes to that. You can choose your passion. You can actually choose what you want to be passionate about. And I know a lot of times we think passion, well, it's kind of equated with my feelings and my emotion. And that may be true to an extent. But can I tell you in the scripture, when you hear words that connect with passion, like zeal or fervor, it's not always a feeling. Most of the time, it's a commitment. Amen? Does that make sense? It's like, okay, I'm committed to this. I'm committed no matter. It can produce feelings, right? Your commitments can produce it, and where you're feeling strong, like, oh man, I'm so pumped, I'm ready to go to the gym today. And then, you know, the next day comes along and you're like, why did I sign up for that gym? Why did I, you know, passion can come and go, but your commitment to it is what's going to make it happen. And I read this statistic, don't raise your hand if you made a New Year's resolution. I don't have any problem with that. But I read the statistic, within 7 days, 25% of our New Year's resolution, people have already broke it. So if you made one on January 1st, today's the 4th, you got 3 more days. Right? And you're like, oh yeah, I'm looking for that. 25%, 64% have already broken their New Year's resolution by the end of January. And then by the end of February, 80% have already given up on it. It's like, oh man, that was so last month. I'm not doing that anymore. Here's the thing. We have to realize that my passion cannot be dictated by my emotion. Because it will come and go, right? My passion has to be dictated to the things that I choose to be committed to. And it really is a choice that we make. It's true in every area of your life, but I want to tell you, especially in your walk with God, it's got to be a choice because you're not always going to feel it. There's going to be some mornings you wake up and you're like, I just don't want to read the Bible today. There's going to be some Sunday mornings that you get up and you're like, oh, it's rainy outside. I don't know if I want to get out in this. How many of you know you're going by emotion and you're letting emotion dictate your passion rather than your decision to say, no, I'm committed. I'm going to do it. I'm going to draw closer. Amen. And I'll tell you, no matter what the feeling, listen, you got to choose that passion if you're going to walk with the Lord. You got to make that choice and make it a commitment, amen? And I believe this. If you got the message on the text mail, this will be your best year ever if it's your best year spiritually. How many of you believe that? And it's like, doesn't mean that you're not going to face trials. Doesn't mean you're not going to have valleys. How many of you know that life is full of mountains and valleys? We love the mountaintops, right? Praise the Lord. But the valleys are there too. But here's the thing. If I'm committed to serving God 100%, then I understand that, yes, I believe this, the valleys are not going to be as deep, right? What does it say? Psalms 23. I think a lot of you guys know that. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, that doesn't sound like a good valley, does it? Though I walk through it, what does the psalmist say? What does David say? I will fear no evil. Why? Because God is with you. And when God is with you, it doesn't matter what valley you go through, you know you're going to get to the other side. Amen? But when you have separated yourself and allowed yourself to drift away, man, those valleys are tough. Those valleys are dark and they're very lonely. But walk with him. So listen, you have a choice what your passions are going to be in 2026. You've got a choice. And let me just say, there's a lot of areas that we need to make a priority. How many of you know health is a good thing to make a priority? Your finances, if your finances are a mess, that's not a bad thing to make a priority. If your relationships are a mess, that's not a bad thing. But I want to say this, if Jesus is not your number one priority, all the rest of those are going to fall apart. Amen? Does that make sense? So today I'm going to give you 4 passions that you can commit to as we start this out. Number one is having a passion for praise and worship. And you're like, well, what do you mean by that? The singing time in church? Yes, but so much more. Amen? Because here's the reality. Whatever you worship most, that's number one in your life. Isn't that true? Well, what is praise and worship? How many of you know those are actually different? We kind of use them and combine. Praise is about declaration of who God is. Like, God, you are this. And it's kind of like, you know, when you're in here, like, you know, there's no one like our God. And you're making that declaration of who God is. And that is powerful in our life. But worship is really a declaration. And it's like between you and God, look at what God you have done. We were singing that song this morning. All my life, you have been faithful. How many of you know that's the worship part? And I think both of them are powerful that we need to understand that, that when I engage and I make that a priority in my life, there are things that happen. Look what Jesus said in Mark 12. He says, to love the Lord your God. And I want you to focus on what I highlighted. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Notice he didn't say to be half-hearted. With all your soul. And with all your mind, and with all of your strength. I believe that worship, really, whatever gets my mind's attention, and whatever gets my heart's affection, that's what I'm worshiping. Isn't that true? And I'm not talking about music styles. You know, I'm so overhearing people, well, I don't really like that style of music, you know, and you know, I wish that they sing this kind of song. Can I tell you, praise and worship is never about us and what we like. It's always about him. And it's like, I can worship God through old songs and I can worship God through new songs. Amen? Because it's not about me. Everything that is within me, I want it to be able to love the Lord. My heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, I want to give him all of that. Amen? Look what the psalmist says in 103. Praise the Lord, all my soul, and what? All my inmost being. Can I tell you, when you give God all of that praise, like don't let your sports team, your hobby, or your work get more praise than who God is. Amen. More praise than the one who went to the cross that we were remembering in communion. Jesus went and paid the price so that you and I could walk in freedom. Amen. So I'm not letting anything on this earth get more of my affection and more of my devotion than Jesus. Amen. And that should affect every area of our life. Not just our singing, but how many of you know when we serve? Why do I serve other people? Because I love other people, because God loves me, and God has given me a love for other people, right? When we're giving, it's not like, oh, yeah, it's the giving time. I guess I got to give something. No, I give because he first gave to me. Amen. I do it because he is number one in my life. When I'm reading God's word, when I'm in prayer, whatever it is, all of that is a form of worship. Amen. And so all of my heart, all of my soul, let that be the thing that drives you. Choose your passion. And let me just say, there are going to be days that you're just not going to feel it. But I want to tell you, I want you to hear me. Do it anyway. Amen. Do it anyway. There are days, listen, you are going to be the mountaintop. It's easy to worship God on the mountaintop, isn't it? But let me just say, when you feel like the mountain is on top of you, how many of you know you need to do it anyway? Amen. You're like, oh, the weight of the world. You begin to worship God anyway, regardless of how you feel. I want to take you back to 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is when David had just brought the ark into Jerusalem, and there was celebration, and there was dancing going on. And it says, when David returned home to bless his household, he's coming in to bless them. He's been blessing the Lord and all of that. But Michal, who is the daughter of Saul, who was King Saul, right, that David replaced, came out to meet him, and she was not encouraging. Let me just say that. How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of slave girls, of his servants, as any vulgar fellow would do. And I love what David says to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone else from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people. And look what he says, I will celebrate before the Lord. How many of you know that's a choice of his will? Well, I'm not really feeling it today. No, he says, I will. I will. And look at verse 22. He says it again. I will, look at it, become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. Well, who wants that? Listen, it's before the Lord. And I think what he's saying, and let me just say this, because, I mean, I've been doing this for a long time. There's got to be a breaking point in your worship where you're less worried about what people think of you and more focus on what God has done for you. Does that make sense? I remember when I first started going and I saw people raising their hand and I'm like, thank you, Lord. What are people thinking? They're not thinking about you at all. Guess what? They're thinking about the Lord. And it's like, man, it was so freedom. And I think I've shared this story. I remember when we were in Texas and this couple was coming. He ran an air conditioning business. But he came from a background where worship was very funeral-like. Let me put it that way. Very boring, very like, okay, we worship. They started coming. He gave his life to the Lord. And he, like I said, one day he had his hand up, and I thought, and his wife was like, oh, he's got the Spirit. God's moving in his life. And he quickly pulled it down. He goes, no, I was just checking to see if the air was on. Right? Let me tell you, there's got to be a breaking point where I've stopped worrying about what other people think. Amen. And I just want to worship God. Michael told David, she's like, that's not how a king should act. And I love David's response is basically, well, you haven't seen anything yet. Wait till I really get, I'm going to become even more. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to shout. How many of you know it's okay to shout? Right? I'm going to clap my hands, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. How many of you know a voice of triumph is not like, oh, yay, we won. All right. How many of you guys, like your team, you know, when they won, it's like, you know, I see the post on Facebook. I haven't been able to do that in a while with the Cowboys, but it's like you're celebrating, right? You're excited about it. And it's like, how much more excited should we be about God? Amen. Amen? How many of you know we are not funeral worship time? We can actually get a little excited. And I heard some of you guys this morning, some of you guys actually got a little excited about the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. I believe that we all need to take a step in our worship this year. Like, God, I want to be free from what other people think. I don't want to be caught up. I just want to worship you, God. And if that means I got to shout before you, I'm going to shout before you. Let me just say, it's okay here. Amen. David said he would be even more undignified. You know what he tells her? Let me go back to it. He says, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father. He's like, listen, your dad didn't appoint me. God appointed me. And because God chose me, I am worshiping him. And I don't want to tell you here today, listen, it wasn't man that called you to him. How many of you know it was God himself? The scripture says no man comes to the Father except the Spirit of God draws you. The Holy Spirit drew you into a relationship. Amen? So you can worship him. I'm going to read the rest of Psalms 103, verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Then verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You guys know that. How many of you know there's a benefit to serving the Lord? Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are like, oh, if I go to church, I'm not going to be able to do this, and I'm not. They feel like they're giving stuff up. Can I tell you? You only give up stuff that doesn't bring you joy and happiness anyway. And the benefit is the presence of the Lord and the peace of God, the hope of God. I couldn't even begin to name all the benefits, but it's more than you can imagine. And so you can choose a passion for praise and worship. One more thing I want to share on that before I go to the next one. How many of you realize there's actually power in your worship? Amen. Amen. There's power in it. And I was thinking about this story in the New Testament. When Paul and Silas were in prison, after they got beaten, they got put in prison, basically a dark dungeon. They had shackles on their wrists, shackles on their feet. They're bloodied and bruised after the beating that they got. And let me tell you, it's not like prisons today. Back then, it's like there was no first aid. Just go in there. I hope you don't bleed out, right? And they're in there hurting. But the scripture says that they began to lift their voice and began to praise God. And if you know the story of what happened, all of a sudden there was an earthquake. The shackles began to fall off of their wrists, off of their feet. The prison doors began to open up. And they were free. And I think that that's such a beautiful picture of what happens to us when we really begin to worship God. I believe that when we worship, God gets active in our life. Amen. Like the shackles in the spiritual realm begin to shake loose. Prison doors begin to open up. And all of a sudden, after you've been worshiping God, you're feeling freer than you ever have before. I think there are things that are happening in the supernatural that will begin to manifest in the natural realm. Amen? And so there's power in it. Begin to worship Him. Listen, worship not just here in church. How many of you know if you're in the hospital room, that's a great place to worship Him too? If you're at work, if you're, you know, whatever you're going through, it's like, man, I'm going to lift up my voice because I know that there is power in that. Amen? One last verse before we move on. It says, through Jesus, is Hebrews 13, therefore let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And look what he says, the fruit of our lips. How many of you know that means don't worship God just in your mind? Do I look like I'm worshiping God? A little bit. I want to tell you, there's a breakthrough when you actually open your mouth. Amen? When you actually open your mouth and you begin, well, I don't really know this song. I don't care if you don't know the song. Just say, Lord, I thank you. Just begin to worship Him anyway. And we put words up there anyway. But we've got to begin to open up our mouths and worship Him. Amen? All right. Second passion. Passion for purpose. Have a passion. Listen, I want this to be the year that you begin to make a declaration that no one or no thing is going to rob me of my God-given purpose. Amen? How many of you know the enemy has been robbing God's purpose in your life? If you're not involved in that, look what Galatians, Paul says this in Galatians 2, I have been crucified with Christ, and he says, I no longer live. Amen? Can I hear you say that part? I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Amen. This is not my life. I'm not living my life anymore. I'm living my life for God. Amen. My purpose is no longer. And listen, I was doing the math in my head this morning. It was 42 years ago that I made the statement that, God, I'm not living my life for myself anymore. I'm living it for you. And it was actually 41 years ago this month that I walked onto a Bible college campus for the first time. First time, 41 years ago, I'm like, man, how am I that old? I guess I was 6 when I went. I don't know, something like that. But I'm just like, Lord, I'm living it for you. And not that I've been perfect all of these 41 years, but I'll tell you, my purpose is always, even when I was in the military, I had the opportunity to go on and get higher rank. But I was like, no, God, I know what you've called me to do. And I was really tempted. And so I got out to work a peanuts job, you know. I didn't get paid a lot. And we had 3 kids, but it was like, Lord, I know what my purpose is. And I'm going to pursue you and I'm going to trust you because it's not, I no longer live. Look what Peter says in 1 Peter 2:24. He says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might do what? Die to sin, that is my own way, and live for righteousness. Can I just say, if you've given your life to Christ, you've got a reason to live. Amen. Amen. You've got a purpose that God has for you, and it's greater than you can even imagine. And it's like, life is not like, well, you know, and I shared this with our first service. The goal of life, you guys have heard me say this, is not just to arrive safely to death. Amen. Well, if I can just get to death and have enough of my retirement, and it's like, well, I hope you do have that. But I hope you have something greater to live for. Amen. God has got something bigger for every one of us. But so what is it? 2 chapters later, Peter says this. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to do what? Service. Notice it doesn't say serve himself. Right? Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Listen, the scripture doesn't even cover all of those various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? What are we supposed to do? We are to serve others. God gives us gifts. So let me back it up to Galatians 2:20 again. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. What am I doing now? I'm giving whatever gift that God has given me, I want to use it to serve other people. Amen. Amen. I want to serve other people. And listen, You may have a similar gift as somebody else, but how many of you know your personality is unique? The experiences that you've experienced in life are unique. And the spiritual gift that God gives you at salvation, I believe that God works all of those things together in each of us so that you are uniquely you in your gifting. Does that make sense? And I believe that God wants to use your uniqueness for kingdom purposes. And like I said earlier, some of you, the enemy has been robbing you of your unique purpose. You've allowed offense to come into your life or just choices for yourself. And let me just say, I hope that you will say, you know what? I am not being robbed this year. Amen. I'm going to follow God. I want to tell you, if you want hope, if you want true peace, if you want real joy in your life, it's not going to be by pursuing all these things that the world has to offer. It's going to be when you begin to serve God and you begin to serve other people. That's the only way you're going to get it. Listen, if you're here today and you feel like, man, I need some hope in my life, can I tell you, start serving other people. If you're like walking in pain right now, then I want to tell you, how do you overcome that? You begin to pray for other people. That's serving other people. If you need some help in your life, and I know the world's like, oh, you need help. We get called. Where's Randy at? There he is. Right there. We get calls all the time. I need this, and I need that, and how many of you know everybody needs something? So if you need something, you find out how biblically you can help somebody else, right? And when you give your life to help somebody else, can I tell you, God begins to help you. It's not like, give me a handout. I just need a handout. No, I need to find somewhere that I can serve. If you've got a financial need, it's like, I just need this and I need that. Can I tell you something that is so countercultural? You start sowing and you start giving. Well, I thought I got to save every penny. I'll start giving later. No, you begin to do what the Bible says. If you need encouragement in your life, don't sit around in your pity party. You begin to encourage other people. Right? You go to the convenience store and you see somebody struggling and you know you're struggling, encourage them anyway. And I will tell you, when you begin to serve other people in that way, God begins to do something in your life. Amen? Decide in 2026, I am walking in the purposes of God. Let me give you Ephesians 2:10. For we, what does it say? We? How many of you know that's, are you a we? All right, we're all we's. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. I'm getting too excited about it. For us to do, amen? So I switched it. I replaced a couple of words because I want us to say this together. For, let's say it, I am God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for me to do. Amen. It's not always, oh, all you guys need to do this. No, I need to do it. God created these things in advance. I love the New Living Translation of the word workmanship. It says masterpiece. How many of you know you are God's masterpiece? You are uniquely you, just like I said a minute ago. Nobody else like you. And God created something for you to do. And I want to do it. Listen, I choose to walk in my purpose. And let me just say, it might be right here at Freedom Church. I believe that God's got something. And I'm just going to share, you may not have realized it, but last week, and it's been a consistent trend, I would say over the last, 6 or 8 months, we are currently about 30% of our attendance. It may not look it today because we got a lot of people gone, but 30% of our attendance is under 18 right now. How many of you realize that? Like from our nursery, and I had Randy helping me, or Timothy, with the numbers. Our nursery, how many did we have last week? Help me out. You had it this first service. Five in our nursery, and then our preschool class, we had six or so, yeah. And then in the kids' church, like 16, right? 13, and then 8 in our youth. And listen, for a church of 100 to 120, we averaged about 100. That's not a bad number of kids. Right? And what does that mean for us? What does that say? Listen, we are a next generation church. That means we're not just like, serving the faithful that have been here. God is bringing young people here in order to see them raise up and become. But let me just say, in order to stay and grow that, how many of you know, we've got to be willing to serve them. Amen? in those areas. There's been a debate for the last, I don't know how many years, church growth. I remember when I first got into ministry, everything was church growth. Church growth this and church growth that. And I don't know where it transitioned, but I'm glad it did, because church growth by itself doesn't necessarily mean healthy church. You could be a church of 1,000 people and be unhealthy. I mean, I know particularly one church that was a number of years ago, about 10 years ago, it was running over 10,000 people. It was not a healthy church, and stuff got exposed. The entire church and all the like 9 different campuses dissolved in a matter of 3 months, and it no longer existed. And so people are like, oh, big church, grow. I just need to grow. My thing is I want to be healthy. I don't care what size we are, we need to be a healthy church. And so these are some growing healthy churches. This is what they say, that one of the factors, there's others, church health experts say it's not the size of a church that determines if a church is healthy. It is measured by how many under 18-year-olds attend. A combined figure of 20 to 30% suggests a vibrant, growing church. How many of you know we are on the top side of that most Sundays? I mean, that's why I love hearing the kids on the kids' church over there. How many of you notice that every now and then? And it's like, it's not a bad thing. That's why we ended up buying this building out here, what, 2 years ago? I don't remember how long it is. And it's like, because we needed somewhere for it. We're using every inch of this place that we can. Amen. And so let's keep doing that. Listen, if God's called you to serve in an area, we need people that will help serve our kids in all ages. Amen. And so don't sit back. Say, I'm gonna pursue my passion in that. Number 3 is a passion for purity. And you're like, oh no, I don't know if I want to hear this one right here. But let me give you a scripture out of Numbers 25. It says Phinehas, not Phinehas and Ferb for some of you, but he was the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest. He says, he has turned my anger from the Israelites since he was as zealous for my honor as I am. How many of you know he was as zealous for the honor of God as God himself is? That's crazy. He's like, I don't want God to be disrespected. I don't want God to have shame on him. 2 Kings 10, Jehu, it says, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. Now, let me just pause here for a moment. How many of you realize people that have a passion for purity, they live different than what the culture lives? Isn't that true? So here's one that I hope it makes you think. We need to make a choice this year not just to be an echo of our culture. Isn't that good? What is an echo? Hello, 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 right? Sometimes you see the church and it's like, well, you just look like everybody else. Why do I need to go there? What's different about you? God has called us to be different. I think there are too many people in church today, they want the blessings that come from God, but guess what? They don't want the holiness that God calls us to. Ah, if your toes are hurting, it's not me. We want the blessings while remaining an echo of the culture. We look just like them. How many of you know the scripture says we were called to come out from among them and be different? Amen? We were called to be in the world, but how many of you know not of the world? There's got to be a difference. And so I want to challenge you today. And some of you guys are like, oh, I'm going to go online next week because I don't know where he's going. Have a passion for purity. Say, God, I want to be pure, right? Like maybe purity in the things that come out of our mouth. Amen? Can I just say this? Make it a challenge to clean up your mouth this year. Amen? You're like, because what does the Bible say? It says, out of the overflows of our heart, our mouth speaks. And so maybe instead of like worrying about cleaning up your mouth, maybe cleaning up our heart so that our mouth will actually follow that. Amen. David said this in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart. How many of you know the cleaner your heart is before him, the words will begin to reflect that. Let this be a year of purity in your relationships. Amen. Like learn to draw lines where you need to, the things that I will do, the things that I won't do, the places I will go. Amen. The places I won't. I heard this statement, a while back, and I loved it, so I'm using it. It said, don't be a paper plate in the hands of God. He said, be fine china. Amen. What do I mean by that? How many of you know anybody can be a paper plate? What do you put on a paper plate? You put paper plate meals, right? Hot dogs and you're like, well, I like hot dogs, right? But what do you put on fine china is fine meals. Amen. And if you can be pure before the Lord, I believe God will say, listen, I've got a task, but I need fine china for this task. Right? I've got something of great value that I want to entrust. I don't want to be the paper plate in the hands of God. I want God to use me for his purposes. Amen? And it starts with purity. It starts with purity in my heart, my thoughts. Right? How do I change my thoughts? Well, you got to get into God's word. Right? The more you get into God's word, how many of you know he changes us? Romans 12:2 says that. Allow God to change the way we think. It's got to come out in our speech. Ask the question to God. God, is what I'm doing, is what I'm saying, is it honoring to you? Because as if it's not, and if you're like, well, everybody does this, everybody says that. I don't want to be everybody. I don't want to be the echo of culture. Amen? God's called us to something higher than that. And say, just to be able to come before God, God, what in my life is not honoring to you? What are the things? I want a passion for purity, not the echo of culture. Number four, I'm almost done. A passion for prayer. How many of you know we believe in prayer here? We actually believe that prayer changes things. God didn't call us to do an activity that has no purpose. Right? He called us to do something that actually may. And listen, it's actually in one of our values that we have. I shared one last week. But prayer and worship is our connection. Connecting with God through prayer and worship is absolutely essential. Times of prayer and passionate praise is at the forefront of all of our gatherings. Amen? And so this is it's like if you've not been there, get on board with it. Like, God, I want to make a commitment to it. Lord, I want to begin to spend more time in prayer. And listen, honestly, if you've not been praying at all, 5 minutes is better than no minutes. Amen. 10 minutes. Even in the Bible reading, it's like, yes, it's a challenge to read through the New Testament. But what's going to happen if you hit May 31st and you only accomplished half of it? Think about you just read half of the New Testament. That's huge. Right? Don't look at not being able to, well, I didn't get it all done. But you know what? You got something done. Right? You begin to get God's word. You begin to allow it to get in you. And so prayer is so important in our lives. Let me show you another verse out of 1 Samuel 23, verses 1. I'm going to read all the way through 4. But when David was told, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are looting the threshing floor. What did David do? He was a warrior, right? War was something he did well. As a matter of fact, God didn't allow him to build the temple because he said, your hands have too much blood on them. And so it's probably something he could have done on his own. But look what he did instead. It says that he inquired of the Lord. He sought the Lord. Shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord answered him, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. Later on, but David's men said to him, here in Judah, we're afraid. Right? We're scared. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the Philistine forces? Once again, look what David did. He inquired of the Lord. And the Lord, I love that. He inquired and the Lord answers. All right? People, if you don't get an answer from God, you keep inquiring. All right? Because inquiry minds want to know. I know that was bad. So sometimes things pop into my head that shouldn't. And it says, the Lord answered, go down to Keilah for I'm about to give that. And I love that. That just those phrase right there, when was the last time that you inquired of the Lord about major issues in your life? When have you asked, can this be the year that before you do anything, that you learn to inquire of the Lord? You learn to come to him. Before I make these big adjustments in life, let me just inquire of the Lord, right? Before I make a big purchase, let me just warn you, inquire of the Lord. Make sure that those things that call, if you don't buy this in the next 30 minutes, you're going to lose the deal. Well, guess what? I'm going to lose the deal because I'm not going to make any move until I've inquired of the Lord. Before you get into any relationship, I don't care how cute or handsome they are, I want to tell you, inquire of the Lord. Amen. God, is this the right choice? Pray often, amen? Pray about everything. It's what the scripture said. Can I tell you how much better life would be if we would just learn to stop and say, God, are you okay with this decision I'm about to make? Yes. Think about it. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you have gone through some stuff in life that you said, man, I sure wish I would have prayed about that. Amen. Right? I wish I would have gone to the Lord about that first because, man, this did not turn out like I thought. God will answer. If you're genuine about it, like, Lord, I really want it. Now, don't go to the Lord just to confirm what you already want to do. Oh, I prayed about it, and God said yes. Well, did you really hear him? No, you go. And if God says no, that means no. Right? If he says yes, go take on the whatever their names are, the Kila. Go after it, right? Look what Scripture says in Matthew 21. Jesus said this, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. How many of you know that what we do, we should be in prayer. We should have prayer. It's not just bless our meal. How many of you know it's got to be every part of our life? James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. And I love this. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We should be praying for each other. Amen? That's what we're called to do. Timothy, you can come up. And so I want to challenge you today. Starting today, 21 days of prayer and fasting. What are you going to do? And it's like, okay, like I said, you know, Pastor Colleen mentioned earlier, maybe it's coffee, maybe it's sweets. I don't know. Anybody got a sweet addiction after their Christmas? And it's like, okay, God, help me in that area. Whatever, listen, don't let it be like for me, if I got up here, and some of you guys know, if I said, man, for the next 21 days, I'm going to fast cilantro. Anybody with me on that one? Listen, I don't like it, so that's not a fast, right? That's like, I can do this from the right now till the day I die, right? No, it's got to be something that kind of pulls on you and tugs you that you really go after. Listen, in the Bible, a fast always had to do with food, but I believe that's because there was no such things as these back then. Or TV going on. So listen, maybe a social media fast. That's not necessarily a bad idea. Maybe you need to give your thumbs a break from scrolling all day long. Amen? Here's the point to a fast. I want you to write that down. The point of a fast is to change your appetite. What are the things that I'm hungry for? Oh man, I can't wait to, you know, first thing I do in the morning, I got to find out what's going on, right? How about the first thing be in the morning, you come and connect with God. Amen. It's like, well, I'm just looking at it, but we don't understand. It's like, it's because we have an appetite for it. Some of you guys remember before we had these things and you couldn't tell what was going on the first thing in the morning, but you could connect with God. Amen. Change my appetite. Whatever it is, whatever things, you know, what's going on is fasting is is disciplining your body to resist the appetite of the flesh. You gotta make yourself to increase. I want a stronger spiritual appetite to where when I get up, the first thing I want to do is spend some time with God. And why 21 days? Let me just say, because your flesh is going to fight you like crazy. You're going, oh, I'll do the sugar, you know, and then I come into men's Bible study and there's donuts. And you're like, ah, oh, I want that. No, you are disciplining yourself. And that's a good thing. As you resist your flesh and increase your appetite for God, can I tell you, you're drawing near to Him. And I think that there's something about prayer and fasting, the combination. You know, the Scripture says that casting out demons, these don't come out by prayer and fasting. How many of you know there's times that prayer is not quite enough? You need that combination of fasting in there. And I think that they're both equally important because fasting separates us from the world. Prayer brings us closer to God. Amen? And you need both. Prayer is going to draw you close to God. Fasting is going to teach you to learn and to resist the temptations of this world. And so I'm challenging you in that. I'm going to challenge you in prayer. Listen, Tuesday through Friday, we're going to have the sanctuary open noon to 1. I know not everybody can make it, and you may not even be able to come the whole hour. But maybe you can come for 10 or 20 or 30 minutes, and you know, nobody's going to be leading anything. You just kind of come in and just spend some time praying. I'll get to this in a minute because we're going to have prayer requests here. Maybe you can pray for other people's needs. Amen? And begin to do that. Thursday night prayer is at 7 p.m. And again, I know not everybody can make it, but what would happen if the next 3 weeks we had 50 or 60 people in here saying, you know what, I'm going to pray from 7 till 8. Amen? How many of you think things could begin to happen? So I want to challenge you in that. I want to challenge you with your Bible reading. We've kind of already gone into that, so I'm not going to keep going into that. But then on the end of the fast, January 25th, we're going to have a worship and miracle night. We're going to believe for God to do some breakthroughs. Amen? I believe that God still does miracles. Anybody else here? We're going to believe for bodies to be healed. Amen? We're going to believe for surgeries to be canceled. You might have it on the calendar now, and it's all of a sudden, God can touch you. It's happened. I've seen it happen. Marriages restored, addictions broken. How many of you know God can do all of that? Lives restored back to God's plan and purpose. Maybe you need a financial breakthrough. Listen, we're going to believe for that as we seek Him and have a passion for prayer. And the other one, did everybody get one of the little green pieces of paper? If you didn't, Anthony's there. He will bring one over to you. Listen, this is what I'm going to challenge you. Write down whatever it is that you are believing for. Whatever, you don't have to put your name on it. Actually, I encourage you not to put your name on it. And at the end of service, you just write down, man, I've got this ache. I've got this financial need. I'm believing for this person to come to the Lord. Write it down. At the end of service, just kind of come and put it on the cross. And it's going to be up there. And we're going to pray over it through the week. We're going to pray over it on Thursday nights. And we're just going to believe for breakthrough. Amen? What would happen if people actually believed that God would do what He said He would do? Amen? A couple more hands that are around. Listen, you got all kinds of time to do that. But I want to encourage you to do that. And I believe that if you choose your passion of worship, of praise, of purity, of purpose in prayer, like I said at the beginning of this, this will be your best year you've ever had, because it's going to be your best year you've ever had spiritually. You can do it, right? As He's handing that out, listen, we're going to pray. And actually, I'm going to have our prayer team are going to come up here. But before we do that, I want to, how many of you know the greatest prayer you can pray is Jesus, save me. Amen. God, forgive me. God, give me a brand new start. God is into new start. And so I want to invite you today. I don't know where everybody's at spiritually, but I want to invite you into a relationship with Jesus. And I specifically said relationship because a lot of people think, well, I believe in God, so isn't that good enough? You can believe in God and have no relationship. Isn't that right? So I want to invite you into a relationship. And if you are honest, if you feel far from God, I want you to know that you can actually know God. You can know God's forgiveness. You see, the Bible says there's a thing called sin that has separated us from God. And like we've been talking about, Jesus came, He paid the penalty, He took our sin upon Him so that we could walk in righteousness. And in the book of Romans, it says that if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, says you will be saved. Can I tell you what that means? If you believe that Jesus is Lord, that means you are surrendering control of your life to Him. That means you are no longer the Lord of your life. You're saying, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to surrender to you. I'm not going to direct my steps. I'm asking you to direct my steps. So if you're here today, can I just have everybody, this is between you and God. Everybody close your eyes, bow your head. You say, Pastor, I want to make a fresh start with Him. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord, or maybe you have, but you know you have drifted away. And you say, today, I'm making a fresh start with Him. Can you just raise your hand? Let me know who to pray with. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Can we just, for the sake of everybody, can we all just say this prayer together? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your patience with me. Thank you that you died on that cross for me. And today, I surrender my life to you. I am no longer Lord of my life. I'm handing that over to you. Jesus, you be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. As Pastor Timothy's playing, listen, our worship, our prayer team, can you guys come up? We're just going to take a few minutes. If you need prayer for anything, I don't want you to leave without getting that prayer. Just begin. There's several people up here that will pray for you. I don't want to see anybody walk out, man, I wish I had somebody. We believe in prayer. And listen, you don't have to wait until the 25th for your breakthrough. How many of you know it can happen right now today? Amen? Amen. So as Pastor Timothy's playing, if you need prayer, come on up and let's believe God for a breakthrough in your life. If you've got to go, I understand that too, but it's okay to take a few minutes before him.